This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host from her studio at home, also known as the walk-in closet, is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you. And Jim and I are actually doing a Zoom. We're recording this via phone, but he can actually see some of the clothes in my closet. So my closet's kind of messed up right now. So, hey, we're all doing things differently, right, Jim?
Absolutely. And it's working out well. It's working out real well.
It is working out. Well, today we've got a very interesting topic. Stop talking about how we're doing things differently. We've been hearing a lot about a new term, which is kind of the new buzzword, and it's called social distancing. But we're going to look at it. That's our topic today. We're going to look at that topic from a bit of a Catholic perspective. And here to share his wisdom and knowledge is Bill Schmidt. He's our guest. He's an adjunct professor at Holy Cross College in South Bend, or slash maybe Notre Dame, Indiana. Welcome to Faith in Action, Bill.
Very good to be with you, Bridget. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. And Bill, you have a really interesting background. You sent me your curriculum vitae, and it was really extensive. You teach, you blog, you have a podcast, you work in media, and those are your bad points, right?
maybe sometimes they are bad points, but I try to make them all good and fruitful. And I've spent a lot of time in higher ed communications, but I really love the freelance and consulting world, along with the teaching of writing and rhetoric at Holy Cross College. That's really great fun. But I enjoy the consulting because it gets you a chance to write about all sorts of things, including social distancing.
Yeah, so we kind of have this idea of what social distancing is. Obviously, everything we hear on the news is, you know, keep your six feet away from people. What prompted you to kind of delve into this topic, maybe from a faith perspective?
Well, it actually tied in, at least in my own mind, right away with something I've been writing about for quite a while, called social polarization. Not a particularly technical term, but something that a lot of journalists and people interested in public affairs nationally have been talking about, just how divided our society is, how much there's isolation just between ourselves for reasons of our digital culture. And then to see that social distancing was doing this in a kind of a very embodied way, I knew that, social distancing is primarily a public health term, and hence, A-OK, and may God bless its continued success. But I couldn't help but think that, we don't want to take social distancing too far toward that social polarization danger zone that I think a lot of people have been seeing, because if we continue to go for the polarization, if we can't engage with each other anymore and find common ground and find community space where we can talk with each other inclusively and compassionately, well, then we can't solve the big problems that we have to admit are still very much ahead. Certainly they're with us now, and may they end sooner rather than later.
Sure.
But the Catholics we do have to be on guard for the social distancing that's not medically required.
Now, describe polarization a little bit, just what the term polarization means as you're using it there.
It's basically that, unfortunately, people are, through our politics, through our media, just because of the coarsening of life, in a sense, and the economic crunches that people are going through, there's a real tendency for people to not see that we're all in this together, but to see life a little bit more as a zero-sum game, And of course, with relativism, there's a tendency to see life as my reality versus your reality. And so, instead of being able to come together easily as a democracy, we are more polarized and at each other's throats, with a lot more isolation through social media. The whole irony of social media being antisocial so often, although it has proven some value even during this time of distancing.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the factors you think that are causing polarization to increase?
Well, it is really so many things, including the media and our politics. There's such a focus on ratings and on the technology of breaking news, and lobbyists in Washington and advocates for various groups. Obviously, that is part of how our system works, but it's so easy for these forces to suddenly discover that, hey, it actually helps us to get people not engaged, but rather enraged. The algorithms in Facebook, at least reportedly, tend to focus on keeping eyeballs attached to the screen and feeding people red meat to anger them, rather than building true community, which was the whole purpose of Facebook in the first place.
Sure. What about the 24-hour news cycle? It used to be, as we were growing up, the news came on at 6 o'clock in the evening, and then it came on at 10 o'clock at night, and if you didn't catch it then, well, maybe tomorrow. But now with 24-hour news, yes. Is that affecting the polarization?
I think very much. Yeah, I think that's a very good insight. When you only had certain hours to fill with news, there was more opportunity for serious in-depth reporting, serious responsible editing, truly a kind of gateway function that news directors and editors could play. But now, because the airspace has to be filled constantly, it's filled often with pundits who make their name simply by, saying the most controversial thing possible, and then people side with them, and suddenly they're against the other side, and it's a totally different media environment.
There's no doubt about that. We're talking with Bill Schmidt. He's an adjunct professor at Holy Cross College in South Bend, Indiana. And we're talking about social distancing, and we brought up the political polarization. And one thing I noticed about this, well, with the 24/7 news cycle, what I think is really interesting is that there isn't a lot of time to fact check. And I swear people just kind of mat out the window. And, to your point of, increasing the social polarization or the political polarization, people will just run with unchecked, emotional, clickbait. You know what I'm saying?
And clickbait, exactly. Yes.
And it freaks people out, and then they get angry. And then I don't know if you've noticed this on your social media platforms, but I've noticed on mine the people just are stopping talking to each other because they either support President Trump or they don't support President Trump. So people's friendships have broken up over these. He'll be out of office and whatever. You know what I mean? Have you noticed that?
Very much so. In fact, I guess during Thanksgiving and Christmas, there was a lot of reportage that families had less friendly, less celebratory, and less holy celebrations of what should have been much more family growth and spiritual growth periods. It can really take an impact, and it divides generations, it divides communities as well as families. So, it's not the kind of thing that the democracy can really take forever. It has to be corrected somehow, and one of the reasons I've been interested in it is because I've been fascinated by statements that Pope Francis has been making on such issues. And I think that he's pointing out wisely that Catholic values have a lot to contribute to trying to rein this social polarization in a bit. And I don't hear any other world leaders even talking about that as kind of a fundamental way to help our world survive the challenges it's continuing to face.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about education playing a part in polarization? People know less and less about history all the time, it seems, and
yes,
people tend to argue based on what they feel is right or wrong, or what they feel is their point of view, as opposed to something that is based in fact or based in history.
Yes, that's very much true. There's been such a glorification of just how we feel, how our emotions lead us, and also a kind of an increasingly ingrained fear of stating historical facts that might offend. And yes, indeed, many historical facts may be objectionable, but they're still history and still to be learned from. And just as, bad things happen and God can change them to good, we have to know the bad things of history so that we can cooperate with the Lord's grace in turning those to good as well.
Well, I want to get back to this World Communication Day that happens every year, and Pope Francis, or whoever the Pope is, and this goes back, back to the 60s when the first World Communication Day came into being. What did Pope Francis talk about this year? And I know we talked a little bit about storytelling. Talk a little bit about what he said in that address this year.
Well, he had a really pastoral view of evangelization and community and communion building at its grassroots. And that is, first of all, identifying as God as the great storyteller through the scriptures, Jesus as the great storyteller through the parables, and then it's up to us to follow that pattern now, because it's up to us to convey through our own life stories the story of salvation history and God's presence with his people throughout history. And the only way that's going to have any credibility to next generations is if we tell that story in a personal way, still authentic to the parables and to scripture. But, they say that the young people don't want teachers as much as they want witnesses. And so storytelling is the way to be both a teacher and a witness, because you've actually seen God at work in your own life.
That's a great point. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk more about really building community in a social distancing world. So stay tuned.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
I can't tell you, it's overwhelming how good I feel listening to it.
It is so good. You guys are such a blessing.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio, and we're talking with our guest via phone, Bill Schmidt. He's an adjunct professor at Holy Cross College up there in the northern Indiana. And Bill, we were just joking around at the break, talking about how different things are now that the students aren't in the classroom. How is it I mean, obviously in class, classes are way better, right?
Oh, I know that they were definitely not better until I learned Microsoft software that the college fortunately provided to do the, you know, the distance learning. I'm the first to say that, and I think my students would agree, there's nothing that still beats the in-person, flesh and blood, face-to-face contact. And distance learning is bound to be with us more and more. And we've learned that it can help the community. And my wife and I are constantly on Zoom meetings with family and friends. So that's all cool. But, yeah, it's no substitute for the real flesh and blood community.
So do you have any tips for us in terms of building community in a social distancing world? I know that's a big question, but any tips?
Well, certainly, I'd say that, for instance, at Holy Cross College, they kept going the idea of the Sunday Mass, especially Easter Mass, with the president of the college, and adoration from the campus chapel, and various things like that. Not just the, you know, mere functionality of, you know, learn this lesson and regurgitate it via email or whatever. So there can, and of course, the Catholic Church has been doing a wonderful job of showing its readiness to be available to people through all sorts of streamed masses and all of that. It's doing the best it can at the moment, and we can't wait till that gets added back to our flesh and blood experience to be able to go to Mass, et cetera. But
yeah.
It has to, yeah, every possible way that we can to reach beyond ourselves in our social distanced world, I think we need to seize. Faith is one of them, and these days, the scientists, thank goodness for them, that they are leading the way with statistics and all of that. It's we have to guard against the notion that either scientific statistics or economic goals, we can't let them take over the more important human dignity priorities that might more easily be forgotten if we don't really keep stressing them within our small lockdown communities, and hopefully soon in breaking out of the lockdown and saying, oh my goodness, I remember you, or it's so good to be back in touch with you, or, you know, just to celebrate people again, and to, I guess we have to bump elbows rather than shake hands, but we can still show how grateful we are that all of these other people are out there, and so many of them are proving to be true heroes. That can inspire us.
And the other thing, Bill, I wanted to ask you is that, and this is, I've been asking some of my friends on my social media platforms, and I've been reflecting on this myself, what are some of the lessons that you've learned, or maybe you and your wife have learned, in this shutdown?
Oh, well, you know, possibly one of the best memories that our family, we have a daughter who's working in Washington, D.C., now, and of course she's quarantined, but we said, well, let's at least do Easter Sunday Mass together, and we learned how powerful an experience that could be. We had FaceTime working, and we had YouTube working, and we were connecting each other in all sorts of different ways so that we could watch Pope Francis on EWTN at St. Peter's at right there in Rome, and I think it was one of the most powerful experiences of a family going to Mass together that we've ever had, partly because of the wonderfulness of being gathered in that sense, but also kind of the fact that, oh, in a real vulnerable and yet powerful way, the church was with us, and we were with the church. It was like the Pope was essentially alone there.
Mm-hmm.
In a huge basilica, but we were there with him. And then when he gave the Urbi et Orbi message at the end, and had some great insights looking ahead, you know. Boy, it was nothing can substitute for the actual experience in the pews of your local parish community. But that was an experience that I don't think we would have had otherwise. And so bravo for the technology and the, you know, the distancing to the degree that that prompted our workaround.
Now, one thing that you do, and I like to highlight people that I think are really trying to evangelize in their everyday life, in addition to teaching, you blog and you also have a podcast. Can you talk about those and maybe what those are about and how you got started on those?
Oh, thank you. Yes, the blog is it's onward.net with a word being intentionally misspelled. It's onward.net, and I've been blogging there for several years, and especially spinning off the book that I self-published about Pope Francis and the World Communications Day message in 2018, and that has just kept growing because he likes to talk about media and communication and the building of community through communication that has Catholic values, and so that's my blog. And then one of the podcasts I do, we were fortunate to be on your show. It was Paul Giesting, Dr. Paul Giesting, PhD from Notre Dame, that I met when I was when he was on campus and I was. And we talk about the connection between science and religion, which is one of the really powerful topics in terms of easing social polarization now, because a lot of people are opting for, you know, just the facts, ma'am. Just tell me what the five senses tell me, and tell me what the latest scientific study tells me, and anything else, oh, that must be pure myth, and that must be something that I don't need to pay attention to. So that leaves a lot of students away from church affiliation, and Paul and I do a podcast about that.
And I think it is really a valuable point that you bring up, and I've thought about it many times just throughout my life, is how really the Catholic Church is very good at shedding so much light on all these topics and really bringing unity. I think maybe people think that it's more of a dividing point, and I suppose it can be, but if you really delve in and listen to Pope Francis and read some of the writings of the Pope, I mean, mm-hmm. There's a lot of wisdom there. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? We only have a couple minutes left, but maybe if you got any close remarks about Pope Francis and some of the great things he's told us.
Well, the being a former journalist, what grabbed me most for his 2018 message, and indeed that's why I published this book called When Headlines Hurt, and that's available on Amazon, he talked a lot about how journalism itself needs to be renewed and how the mass media and the digital culture have to still find their roots not in technology and in ratings and the feeding of egos and the feeding of advocacy marketing, but really down at the most fundamental level. And in fact, he closed his 2018 message with a new version of the Peace Prayer of St. Francis, and because I'm a member of the Secular Franciscan Order, that really touched my heart. You know, when he wrote Make Us an Instrument of Your Peace, he spoke about journalism, but he also spoke about how each of us nowadays is a journalist because we're spreading the news flow ourselves. We're our own publishers on Facebook, et cetera. And so we all have the responsibility as good journalists, to be good gatekeepers and to not spread hate, not spread disinformation, not isolate, not demonize people, So there's a lot there that the Catholic Church truly can say. And you're right, it does date back to Inter Mirifica in Vatican II, and even before that, the Church has always been, as a global institution, a true proponent of both local and global community.
It's really interesting. We only have a couple minutes left. I'm wondering if you could give us your blog again, how you get to the blog, how you hear the podcast, and maybe also how to get the book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the blog is onward.net, onward.net, O-N-W-O-R-D, and that does indeed cover mostly the renewal of social communication and the reining in of social polarization, social distancing without a medical cause, let's put it that way.
Right.
And then that's So Second Millennium.net is the marvelous name that Paul Giesling chose for our science and religion podcast. And you can simply go to that SoSecondMillennium.net. And what basically there we're saying, that science and religion have to work together, not be at odds with each other. And that's always been the direction that the Catholic Church pointed us. And then lastly, the reflection book, When Headlines Hurt, Do We Have a Prayer? That one at Amazon, and it's also talked a lot about at my blog. That one is really just the start of a discussion about world communication, say, messages, including this storytelling one that's officially going to be out in a few weeks. World Communication Day is coming up May 24th, the Sunday before Pentecost.
Well, I'm going to have to get a copy of your book. Well, I can't believe it. We're out of time, Bill, but Bill Schmidt, adjunct professor, Holy Cross College, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Oh, a great pleasure. Thank you very much. Good to talk with both of you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.